Well, I am so thankful for our Redeemer. I'm so thankful that He was willing to pay the price that I had no hope of ever being able to pay. Appreciate that. And the Lord today, ask for your prayers that the Lord would bless a portion of word that's on my heart this morning. Make it profitable to us. I'd like to begin in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews, the 11th chapter, the chapter of faith, says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report." I want to consider this morning, by the Lord's help, a good report. Those of you who are out of school perhaps still remember getting report cards. At least in public school, if you're homeschooled, you got them pretty much every day. But at certain times of the semester, you'd get a report card that you're supposed to take home to your parents, or was sent to your parents, that would give a report of how you're doing in school, how your grades are, how closely you're studying, and how well you're picking up the material, and it might even deal with your behavior. All of that captured in a report card to give a snapshot of how you're doing. The intention of that, I believe, to be, if things need to be adjusted, that's the time to adjust it, with the hope that parents would intervene in their children's lives and help ensure that that adjustment in behavior, or maybe some additional study or things after hours would be appropriate, that parents would take those actions. Report card. This says of the elders, of those that have gone before us, that they obtained a good report. We read in this chapter of a lot of names, of those that have gone before us, that have obtained a good report. We read of people like Noah, we read of Abraham and Sarah, we read of Moses, and we read of even Rahab and Gideon and Barak and Samson and David and Samuel and of the prophets, and on and on and on of those who obtained a good report. It says that they obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, they subdued kingdoms, they quenched the violence of fire, and on and on. That's quite a list of accomplishments, isn't it? But it says out of weakness they were made strong. This isn't just a list of exceptional people who were born as, like we might think of, as a child prodigy or somebody with an extraordinary level of natural talent or ability or courage or something like that. These were men and women just like you and I. And through faith, by harnessing the power of God in their lives, they were able to obtain a good report. This report is a testimony or bearing witness unto. I want to look at Proverbs, the 20th chapter. How important is it today that we obtain a good report? You know, every one of us will have a report. Even in this life, the Scripture says that even a child is known by their doings. And a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. There's real value in the report that can be given of my life. How much value do I place on the report of my life? Proverbs, the 20th chapter, in the 6th verse, says, "Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. But a faithful man, who can find? You know how easy it is for us to give ourselves a good report. For us to look at the way that we've conducted ourselves or lived our lives or gone through some situation or conflict or trial and give myself an A+. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes. When I assess myself, when I look in the mirror, I tend to see and understand why I did what I did. That's the way I think. It seems right to me. It seems appropriate to me. But the end of a man's ways lead to death. So the report of my life and of who I am isn't very valuable coming from my own mouth. It's not my own testimony of myself that really provides the caliber of who I am as a person. Most men will proclaim their own goodness in some form, in some manner, will defend their own ways or proclaim the rightness of their own way. 27th chapter. And the second verse says, let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth, a stranger, and not thine own lips. It's easy enough for me to praise my own self, but let another man praise thee. There's more value in someone else recognizing goodness or virtue or whatever thing it is about a person that's being said. It holds more weight if it's coming from someone else. The 18th chapter, while we're here in Proverbs. Proverbs 18 and 17 says, he that is first in his own cause seemeth just, but his neighbor cometh and searcheth him. You know, in a trial of law, in court, whenever there is a case that's being brought against a defendant, the prosecutor goes first. The one that has the complaint or the one that was wronged goes first. And they lay out their case of what was done. I sat on a jury this last week, as most of you knew, and I heard the case that was laid out before us. The prosecutor laid out all his case and said, this is what he did, and this is why he did it, and this is how he did it, and here's all the evidence. And if the case would have concluded right then, well, the outcome would have been the same as what it ended up being. But the judge cautioned us and gave us admonition, saying, be careful not to form a judgment yet, for you've not heard the whole story yet. You haven't heard the other side. You haven't seen all the evidence, and you haven't heard from all the witnesses yet. You can't form an opinion just yet. Reserve judgment. He that is first in his cause, he that first tells his story, sounds very just in what they're telling. Oh, what they did to me and what they said about me and what they... But be careful. His neighbor cometh along, somebody that's observing from a distance the behavior and the conduct. They come along and, well, they've got a little different story to tell. What report would be given of us? There are things about me that I am convinced, because I've seen further down the road, things about myself that I didn't see. You know, it's the great mercy of God to help me to see things about myself that can be detrimental to me or to other people. Lord, I want to obtain a good report. I want to have a good name. I want to be able to obtain that, but above all, I want us to think about what a good report means. Let's look at John, the 5th chapter. Consider Jesus' life. John chapter 5, and we'll begin in the 31st verse. There were all kinds of things said of Jesus. There was all kinds of slander brought against him, and accusations laid at his feet. He was called things like the son of Beelzebub, and people had all kinds of opinions that they had formed of him that were in no wise true. And Jesus, through the wisdom of his words, proclaimed the truth, unmoved. It says in one place, Peter, I believe, said that he committed himself unto him that judgeth righteously. There's one who never makes a mistake. You ever been falsely accused? How'd that feel? You ever have an accusation brought? Maybe someone that didn't know the whole story or hadn't seen all of the facts of the matter and laid a judgment down. You say, but I know that's not right. I know that's not true. Well, Jesus had that happen, and he recognized that there is one who judges righteously. And he was willing and able, as was the case when he was on trial. It says he opened not his mouth. Yes. He was gentle. He was meek. He wasn't rising in retaliation and defense of himself. He wasn't looking for selfish, fleshly gratification of fighting back. But it says here, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. Now consider what Jesus is saying, though. Jesus never lied, never spoke an untruth. But according even to their own law, your own testimony of yourself really holds very little weight. In the mouth of two or three, let every word be established. It's not just in what you say of yourself for the reasons already enumerated. It's not your own testimony of yourself that is the final say. And Jesus said to those who were his antagonist that if I bear witness of myself, I recognize, even by your own law, then my witness holds no merit. As if to say you're under no obligation just because I say something. Just because a man comes to you and claims that he is something. There is another that beareth witness of me. And I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. You sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I receive not testimony from man. These things I say that ye might be saved. He was a burning, John was a burning and a shining light. Ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. The Father bears witness of me. It's not my own words. And throughout life, it's not really about what I think of myself. And really, although I care, it's really not about what you say about me. It's about what the Lord says. What witness, what report does the Lord give of me? Jesus said that the Father had borne witness. He was speaking to a people that he said later here in this same chapter 41. I receive not honor from men, But I know you, that you have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. How can you believe, which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? You know, there's a danger in us living our lives for the appeasement of men's opinions. Again, I say I care. I believe we care what people think about us. I think it's right that we should. But if I live my life in pursuit of the approval of people, it's a vain pursuit. And it's a pursuit that's hard to ever attain. People live their lives for the applause of peers and neighbors and co-workers and friends. And after all, who doesn't want to feel some level of acceptance and camaraderie with people around them? But there is honor that we are to seek that comes not from the applause of men, not from the recognition of the world, but honor that comes from God only. And that's the honor that I want to be able to obtain. And it is that for which we are to live our lives. Paul said, "Herein do I labor, that I might be accepted of Him, of the Lord." In whatever we eat, and whatever we drink, and whatever we wear, and wherever we go, that it's not just for the approval of other people, but for the approval and the honor and the glory of God in our lives. Thank the Lord that there is a way through our Redeemer and through this great plan of salvation that we can obtain a good report, a good witness and testimony of ourselves. John, the first chapter, 47th verse. John 1 and 45, Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, "We have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael saith unto him, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Philip saith unto him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." Nathanael saith unto him, "Whence knowest thou me?" This is someone that I've never met. I just heard about him through someone else. I've never met you. I've never had conversation with you. I've never told you about my life. And yet you're coming with a witness or with a testimony that I am an Israelite indeed. Not just in word, not just in name or in testimony of myself, but when all the facts of the case are tried, indeed, in truth, that I am what I claim, that I am what I say I am, through and through, an Israelite indeed. And he marveled at that. Remember the woman that Jesus met at the well, Samaritan woman? Jesus began talking to her of living water. It sounded good to her. And began to explain things that she had never understood. Talking of water that would fail not, and everlasting water within you springing up. And, "Oh Lord, give me of this water." The Lord, upon her interest and her thirst, said, "Woman, go and call thy husband." The Lord knew exactly what he was saying, why he was saying it. He knew exactly what he was targeting in her life. And you know, if we'll be of honest hearts, the Lord knows how to touch those things in our lives. I don't bring this because I feel like there's something in hiding in your lives. I don't know. But the Lord challenges me. Lord, I want your witness of me and your testimony to be of me, that I am a saint indeed. Lord, I want to be able to hear those words, well done. And I want to have a heart that is open to the Lord, that like David said, Lord, try me and prove me. Lord, see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. An invitation to the Lord. When we tell the Lord to come and try us and prove us, the Lord knows exactly how to do that. The Lord knows exactly where to come and poke and prod. You ever have a dentist come along and say, oh, I've got a toothache, and he takes this little metal thing and does that? Of course it does. Of course it hurt. Did that hurt right there? How about right here? Yeah, oh, you got it. You know, the Lord knows exactly where to come and poke and prod in our lives. And He did that with the woman that was at the well. She said, well, sir, I don't have any husband. And He said, thou sayest well, you have no husband. Because you've had, what was it, 5 husbands? And the man that you have now isn't your husband? How'd you know this? Who told you these things? Who told you about the past of my life? And there was something in that, that it was more than just a fact that he stated. There was something that spoke to the depths of her need and who she was. She went back to the town and she told everyone, it sounds like, in the town, come and see a man who told me everything, whatever I did, was something that had been opened up, laid bare right there. The Lord spoke to the place of her life that maybe she had, no doubt, some shame and didn't really want to advertise all of this. And the Lord went and just laid it bare. There it is. Now let's deal with that. And you know, until something is laid bare, you can't really deal with it. You know, the Lord wants to perform some open heart surgery in people's lives and in their hearts. The Lord wants to come and open it up and lay it bare and say, until we just get this thing out in the open here, we can't really deal with it. We can deal with symptoms and all of that, but until we get to the root of the problem, until we get down inside of you and what makes you tick and what makes you do the things that you do and the way that you act, the Lord wants to go and He knows just where to prod, just where to poke. And oh, even though I might flinch and then it might hurt, the Lord knows just where to go to get to a place that maybe there's some corruption that's starting to fester. Maybe there's a little root of bitterness that has started growing up in my heart and life. You know how hard it is to recognize an attitude? Someone say to you, why do you have that attitude? What attitude? Oh. It can be so hard sometimes for us to recognize things about ourselves. Well, I don't want to be crude. You know, sometimes someone might not even recognize they have bad breath. You know, it's nice to have a companion or a friend to say, hey, would you like a breath mint? You got a problem? I don't even recognize it in myself. And isn't that the way that it can be with attitudes? The way we think and little behaviors that maybe I can't see about myself. You know, the Lord just might use somebody else in my life to expose things about myself. You know, there's a reason why the Lord has said He set the solitary in families. You know, there's reasons for a family structure, for growing up and being raised in a family, and maybe in some families, many families, there are siblings that you have to interact with. I remember as a sibling, it sure seemed like those people had only had one sibling at times. Sure seemed like, boy, that'd be nice if I didn't have to deal with this one. They're pestering me, and that one annoys me, and that one gets on my nerves, and I appreciate and thankful for each one of my siblings today. But you know, the Lord has a reason in what He does. There's a reason in learning how to, I've got to get along. I've got to be able to learn how to work with somebody that sees things differently than I do, that has a different personality than I do. And there are those clashes sometimes. I have to learn what it means to humble myself. And I have to learn what it means to not always get my way. And to have to defer to my brother. You see, those are things that we learn by rubbing shoulders with one another. In our biological families, in the family of God, you know it's the same. You know what's easiest? Sometimes little frictions or little things where maybe somebody kind of gets on my nerves or annoys me a little bit, or just have little quirks about it. It's just easiest for me to just kind of, I'm going to go do my own thing. You know, there are things that the Lord wants to fitly join us together by love, by His Spirit. And there are things that the Lord wants to, iron sharpens iron, that the Lord wants to whet the edge in my life, that the Lord wants to refine some things about myself. You know, I found in the work of the Lord, in encountering and reaching out to minister to people of all different walks of life and cultures and languages and religions, that there are questions that are brought. There are things, people that challenge things that I say that, you know, I could get defensive and want to fight you, but you know what? There's something about it that challenges me. That hones an edge that, you know, I need to go study it. I need to go make sure I understand a little more. So the Lord can use, and many times does use, other people in our lives to help us to see ourselves, to expose things about who we are in the course of life, of rubbing shoulders with one another. Don't get discouraged. If you rub shoulders and maybe in interactions or with other people or family members even, maybe it feels like sometimes a little friction, don't be discouraged. There's an anecdote for that. There's a way to go through those kind of things that brings glory to God and greater humility and grace to me. And there's a way to go through those things in a way that pleases the Lord. And many times that involves, I'm going to have to look down inside. I'll use the example of marriage. I can look at my companion and say, you know, I can see the things she did wrong in that situation. You know something about marriage? If you want marriage to work, you got to come to the place to say, you know what? I'm going to have to focus on this man. I'm going to have to look down inside here. Lord, help me to put blinders on, maybe in this situation or this specific circumstance, and help me to see myself in this. And it can be in marriage, it can be in situations with co-workers, just in dealing with people in life. Lord, help me to see myself. You ever go back to the Lord and ask Him, maybe you had a tough situation or person, Little Larry used to say EGR, person, extra grace required, that you had to interact with and deal with. You ever go back to the Lord and say, Lord, how did I do? You ever come before the Lord at the end of the day and say, Lord, how did I do today? Lord, I want You to render judgment on me. Lord, You see every thought, You heard every word, every motive that rose within my heart. Lord, You saw it all. Lord, I'm coming before You and asking, what do You think? Lord, what report do You give of me? Isaiah, the 11th chapter. Isaiah chapter 11, I want to get the third verse, this prophecy of Jesus. It says that He shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of the eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. He's not going to rely just on what he can see with his eyes, what he can hear with his ears. One of the things the judge told us about coming to a verdict and a reasonable doubt, that in the course of human affairs, it is always possible to have some element of doubt. That there is some hypothetical, that there is some situation that could, within the realms of possibility, be in human events. Because no matter how much evidence you have, you're judging with your eyes. You can't see into the heart of another person, he said. And so you're judging with what you can see and with what you can hear. And there is a burden of proof on the way to the law, or in the law. Jesus didn't have to rely on that. He didn't just look on superficial things to make a judgment. He saw that, and he saw all the way through. And he spoke to those who were the religious ones of the day, who thought so highly of themselves. Those of whom Jesus said, "You receive honor one of another." He looked at him and said, "You indeed make the outside of the cup clean, but within, you're full of extortion and excess." He saw right through and right into each and every one of those. This is the kind of judgment that our Lord renders. It is right and it is perfect judgment. It was said of 2 Samuel, I believe, of the selection of the king. So he was trying to make his choice. It said, "Man looketh on the outward, but God looks on the inward." He's able to judge righteous judgment through and through. And that's the case when he looks on my life and on yours. Let's turn back to Hebrews, the 11th chapter again. I want to read the next two verses after where we read. Fourth verse. "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it he, being dead, yet speaketh." Notice it wasn't Abel's own testimony. It wasn't that there was a sibling rivalry going on here and Abel says, "Hey, I can outdo you. I can do better than that." He came with a heart and with an offering before the Lord that the Lord looked down upon and that the Lord accepted. And the Lord bore witness, or he gave testimony. He gave a report saying, "I accept this. This is well-pleasing unto me." You know, there is such a place in our lives that the Lord, before the day ever comes that we hear "depart" or "well done," that the Lord will bear witness in our lives through his favor and his approval upon our lives, or his anointing upon our lives, that he accepts the sacrifice of my life that I'm bringing before him. And folks, we need that. We don't have the strength and the grace in ourselves to be able to rise to the standard that we read in Scripture. We need the Lord's blessing and favor upon us. And you know, it was said unto Cain who was wroth, the Lord said, "Cain, if you do well, will thou not also be accepted? Cain, don't get angry with your brother. Just present a sacrifice that's pleasing to the Lord. You can as well. Every one of us can obtain a good report. We are all predestined." If you want to use that word, thank the Lord, there's more than 144,000. We are all predestined to eternal life if we will say yes to the Lord, if we will do well, if we will accept this gift. It is for every one of us. That I can obtain a good report and you can obtain a good report. The Lord's blessings upon our life. Whenever we go out, I think of Daniel. When Daniel was taken in much less than ideal circumstances, taken to the court of the Babylonians, and brought captive and said, now we're going to change your names or your identity. Now you're serving this pagan king. It's not where I want to be. I believe in Psalms it talks about even where by the rivers of Babylon. They said, sing us one of your songs of Israel. How can we sing a song in the land of our captivity? Yes. You know, Daniel and his friends took their God with them. And they had his favor and his approval upon them. It wasn't about then or mom and dad watching. Is the priest watching what we're doing right now? They're in a foreign land now, in a court that's unfamiliar surroundings, and they don't know what to expect. But one thing they know, we want to obtain a good report. We want to please the Lord in what we do. So when they come saying, well, you're going to have to change your diet. You're going to have to eat those things that your law forbids. No other options. You're going to have to do that or you're not going to make it. And they entreated and said, would you give us, what was it, 10 days? Would you give us a space of time and let us eat our diet that our God has prescribed for us? And then at the end of that time, you judge and see what kind of report you bring back. And at the end of that time, eating pulse and the things that the Lord had ordained for them to eat, he came and looked at them, and they were fairer than any of the others who were eating of the king's meat and all of that portion. They said, this diet is, there's a high standard here. That's not going to do it. But I'm going to tell you, when we have the favor and the blessing of the Lord upon our lives, that comes only through presenting ourselves a sacrifice acceptable unto God. Remember, Brother Larry used to say, the Lord will not bless a shabby life. But when I come and I present myself before the Lord in sincerity and truth, the Lord can bless that. Whatever circumstance I'm, when I go out in the job and I'm surrounded by heathens and their jokes and their comments, be true to your God. Be faithful to Him. And the Lord will bless and the Lord will bear favor upon you. Think of Jacob's flocks. Remember a time when before Laban, the Lord, with the blessing that he had conferred upon Jacob, his flocks began to multiply and increase. I think of Joseph, who was taken also captive into a heathen land, and he stayed true unto his God and told the mistress, how can I do such wickedness against my God? No, there's not anyone else watching, but I've got to please my God. That's what I insist on. Oh, there's so much value in integrity, in personal integrity in our lives, regardless of if anyone else is watching. I must have the favor and the blessing of the Lord upon my life. And Joseph obtained just that. It's not always about having flocks and herds that increase. I don't believe it means that the Lord's blessings are upon you when you go out into the workplace. You're going to be promoted and promoted and promoted, and you'll be the CEO in 5 years. That's not what the Lord is interested in more than anything else. Do you know when the Lord's blessing is upon us, though? The Scripture says the blessings of the Lord maketh rich, and it adds no sorrow to it. I don't believe it's talking about the riches of our bank account. There will be a spiritual prosperity about us that doesn't add sorrow, and there's no taxes that come along with it. Those are the blessings that I want. It's not the favor of the prince of the court or the king that I'm after. I want the Lord's favor and His blessings to be upon me. It's what made it Daniel say, you might make this decree. I'm not even going to shut my windows. The same as I've always done. I'm going to be faithful and consistent to my God. And the Lord blessed him. And the Lord honored him. And whenever he was thrown into the den of lions, it wasn't Daniel that had to put his hand over the lion's mouth. It was God who sent his angels to do it because of his blessings, because he obtained a good report. Let's close in 1 Peter, the 4th chapter. 1 Peter 4:16, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come, the judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Judgment begin at the house of God. There is certainly coming, as we spoke last Sunday, a judgment day, when judgment will be rendered for the deeds that I have done. Do you know it is in the Lord's great mercy to send judgment in this life? He sends His judgment in this life through His Word. He sends judgment in this life through trials and tribulations, through even afflictions that He sends our way. Does it mean that we've done wrong because affliction comes our way? Ask Brother Job when you get to heaven. He had the blessing, and talk about good report. Whenever he said to the devil, "Have you considered my servant Job?" What a good report he gave of Job. Today, what kind of report will the Lord give of you and me? Would he say, "Have you considered my servant Clint?" Get ready. It just might mean some trying and proving is going to come. But I'll tell you, the Lord knows what to send in our lives that'll give us the best opportunity to make heaven. Again, I go back to, Lord, if there's something in my life, if there's something that I don't see about myself, Lord, I invite you, I ask you, send judgment into my life. Lord, send those things into my life where the heat is brought up to the point that it brings it to the surface, that it lays it bare, that it exposes it, because I'd rather deal with it here than to face it and deal with it in that last day. It is of the Lord's mercies to send His judgments to try us, to prove us. I'll remind you of those who said, and of the Laodiceans, that we're rich and increased in goods and we're clothed and we have need of nothing. They said, "You know not that you're naked and poor and blind and miserable. How could you be so far off?" I think of, well, we need to conclude. Folks, the Lord is the righteous and true judge. And He says in that chapter, "The faithful and true witness saith these things." So Lord, would You come? Lord, write a letter to me. Lord, visit me through Your Word, through messages, through circumstances of life. Lord, visit me. I want to know if something's wrong. I've bought houses and always get a home inspection done before. I don't just want Him to give me all the good things. I want the honest truth of the matter. I want to know if there's a problem. I want You to find it. I want You to expose it. It might hurt when the Lord comes along and exposes things about us. Say, "Oh, where did that come from?" But it is of the Lord's mercies. Because if we'll yield to His chastening and His judgments in this life, and obtain a good report in this life, we'll hear the ultimate verdict of all: "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. The report has been delivered. The verdict has been read. Well done. You've obtained a good report." And I want that to be the testimony of my life. Pray for me.